Golf's no different from hockey. Requires talent, self-discipline.
Golf requires goofy pants and a fat ass. You should talk to my neighbor, the accountant, probably a great golfer, huge ass.
How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai. And you're listening to...
Quiet, please.
Sorry. Let the word go out from here across the land that Danny Noonan approved.
Hiya, boys. Nice day for golf, eh?
Quiet, please. Oh, you got secrets, eh?
Hey, this is Shooter McGavin. You're listening to the...
Hey, you guys. Hey, we're trying to have a podcast over here.
And welcome to another episode of Quiet, Please, our golf podcast. Our virtual living room is packed this evening. Our biggest group, I think, ever, Brendan Elliott.
Yeah, I think so.
And for good reason, we have a lot of things going on in the world of golf. Let me make some quick introductions from Q Mixers and golfer extraordinaire, Andy Heidorn. Hello, Andy.
Hello, everybody.
Boston Bob Baldessari, although he hails from Bourbon Bob country now. Bobby. Also a resident historian. I keep throwing that in there. Yep. Columnist as well as junior golf instructor from out of Orlando, Brendan Elliott. Hello, sir.
Good evening.
And our D1 golfer and prettiest podcaster in golf, Christian Nedzamus. Hello, Christian.
What's up, boys?
But I gotta lie, I'm not going to lie, Christian. You've been upstaged because we are honored by two very pretty ladies as well as amazing golfers in their career. 9-time LPGA champion, Michelle McGann, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Right off the course, too. So
right off the course, indeed.
Tiny hat, but I'll bring a big one for next week when we show up.
And we actually went into the restaurant and grabbed Laura Diaz out of the restaurant to pop on the show. So that's commitment.
Hello.
I think you two are going to be great next week. And what we're talking about is the Woodford Legends of the LPGA event. We talked about it last week. Bobby had a couple other guests on, but we've got both you ladies, and the timing's impeccable because Lexi's in the news, Nellie's in the news a lot. And up here in Pennsylvania, where I reside, there's this little event going on called the US Open. So I'd like to dive into all that as well as get your take on, we talk about this guy named Scotty Scheffler every once in a while and some interesting update there. But Bobby, I'll defer to you, sir. Tell us about what's going on down in Kentucky next week.
Well, we have coming up LPGA Legend Senior Tour event. I shouldn't say they're like the most amazing ladies. We had some of them, like Michelle, in here last October, had a little preview event. It went really well. Michelle, the course is looking wicked lush from when we come out of her drought. So, Laura, you and Michelle better keep it in play off the tee. But it's looking great out there. Lexington community is really excited to have everybody here. So we're 28. Ladies, some World Golf Hall of Famers, LPGA Hall of Famers, Legends Hall of Famers coming in next. It's next June 4 to June 8. The tournament is June 7 and 8. The Pro-Am is June 6. We have a Women's Day of lots of activities on Wednesday, June 5th. And we start off with some Nashville Grammy Award-winning songwriters the evening of June 4th. I did do a video that was me holding a glove playing a guitar out on the spot on the golf course. It's going to be majestic and beautiful. So we're really excited for a big week coming up at the Woodford Club, just outside of Lexington. And this is one of the teams right here, Michelle McGann, Laura Diaz. Talk about what you're going to do for your what sort of your combo, or who does what, or we're playing a two-person basically team scramble. So what's your strategies?
Yeah, what's our strategy, Michelle?
Well, first of all, let's put things in perspective. We have the best outfits. We have already discussed that. You know, I don't know if I've convinced Laura if I can bring her a hat.
I'm all in. Let's do it. Hat.
Okay. All right. Well, I can get some cool ribbons.
Nice.
But yeah, you know, I mean, besides that, we're going to have the best time too. Laura has got a few years. She's a few years younger than I am. So I'm going to just hop on the back, and we are in horse country, right? So
Come on,
let's go, partner. I've been trying to practice. But God, it's been hot down here. But listen, we are so excited to come, Bob. I mean, you've done an amazing job. I came last October. Was it October, September, October? Yep. And I mean, the people are amazing. So to hear that the golf course, I thought it was pretty good when we played. So to hear that it's a little more lush. I mean, Laura, we're going to have fun, like I said, but we're going to kill it.
I'm super excited, Bob. I've heard nothing but great things about the golf course, the experience everyone had last year. I was not fortunate enough to come in September, October, whatever the time frame was, but I've heard nothing but amazing things. I just came off of the LPGA Senior Women's Championship, and we had extremely firm greens out there and really, really, really fast fairway. So I'm looking forward to some lush fairways and greens. Need I say more?
They have this thing here in Kentucky called bluegrass, Kentucky bluegrass.
Yeah.
You can watch it grow. Today was sunny, 71 and breezy.
Oh. That's beautiful.
A gorgeous day. Yeah.
The rust just grew another inch.
Yeah. It is straight.
Well, ladies, thank you again for joining us. As I mentioned initially, LPGA is getting a lot of news, a lot of notoriety. We've talked about this in the past, big supporters of the LPGA. Nelly Korda is going on an amazing run right now. Historic, actually. I'm just interested in hearing your thoughts, for her golf swing, but just the level of play that she's putting forth. And let's be honest, with more cameras probably now than ever turned on her. So just, Michelle, want to chime in first? Or
okay, sure. Well, you know, I didn't have the opportunity to play with Nelly. I don't know if Laura probably had an opportunity. But, you know, listen, she's killing it. And I think, you know, kind of remind you of in our era, you know, when I played, you know, Annika was on a run, and Lorena, and, you know, there's so many great players. I think it's great. I mean, she's an American. Nothing against anybody else, but, you know, she's doing great things for girls golf, for women's golf. She's got a beautiful golf swing. And it seems like she is really having a good time out there, which for me, when I was playing great, I was smiling and having fun. And, you know, I think that's really important as well, to interact with the fans and, you know, enjoy it, you know, because, you know, golf is really hard. So, you know, just, I always thought keep enjoying the ride, keep riding the wave when you feel like you're in that zone and you got things working in the right direction, and, you know, be grateful for, that we've had such an amazing, life of playing golf.
She, you know, she comes from an outstanding family background. Obviously, you know, everybody's into some sport, be it tennis or golf. I played more with Jessica than I did with Nelly, but my husband, Kevin, recruited Nelly, even though he knew that was not happening. So he got to know them a lot in the process. And they're both, Nelly and Jessica, are just tremendous young ladies. Well, I say young because they're way younger than us. But the way I look at it is she's kind of having the Caitlin Clark effect right now on golf that Caitlin was having, you know, in basketball. And anything that can draw more attention to women in golf and women in sport is just phenomenal. My son caddied for me last week, and he loves to watch the swings on Instagram, everybody's swing. And for him to go from a man's swing to then showing me Nelly's swing and being like, this is so powerful. To me, that's huge. I think that's so impressive, you know, that an 18-year-old is looking at a female athlete and commenting on how awesome her swing is. Obviously, her mental game is top notch. But I think she's pleasant to be around. I've always enjoyed being around the Cordas. And I just hope she just keeps on going because it's just fun.
Brendan, as an instructor, are you seeing that uptick in the young ladies coming to the game? And
oh, definitely. Yeah. It's very, we do an LPGA girls golf program at our golf course. And one of the things that struck me is the young lady that actually teaches it for me is a high school player. She's a phenomenal high school player. She's ranked really high in Florida. And what I'm going to go back to what Michelle said. The fun factor is something that gets overlooked a lot. And we can see with some of the best players in the world, they forget that. They forget that they're playing a game and they lose sight of enjoying the time out there. So what I really make sure that my instructor of a girls' golf program does is impart that onto these young ladies, that it's a game, it's fun. If you want to take it to that next level, you still have to have that part of it as part of the equation. That's, and I don't know, ladies, would you say that that's a very key part of moving on into the competitive ranks?
Absolutely. Nancy used to tell me all the time that I needed to smile more. And I never really understood that because I just thought if I smiled, then I wasn't as focused. But, you know, she was just telling me to enjoy the walk, really. And, you know, I think it takes time to learn that because it is such a competitive environment and you're out there and you're thinking you can't do that. You can't have fun. But, you know, I think now I look back and now I really do have fun. You know, I mean, what playing team events is so much fun. But when you're out there by yourself, too, just enjoying the crowd, I think, you know, you don't realize how lucky you are to do what you love for a living until you interact with so many people who don't get to do what they love for a living until you don't have the opportunity to play as much either. Like, so I think now Michelle and I definitely appreciate it way more. And luckily for Nelly, she learned it early and now she's enjoying the ride, but it is so important to have fun. And sometimes it's, you know, it's a little harder to do than just to say.
Michelle, anything to add to that? Or
totally agree. You know, I mean, it's so easy to get down on yourself. You know, we see that every tour. It's a hard game. And I think that as we have gotten older, I mean, I wish I could go back and play a few of those tournaments over again and just take a different perspective of it. But, you know, that's the growing part of being on the tour. I went out when I was 18 and, you know, I was the best junior golfer. And then all of a sudden you're like the bottom of the bowl, you know? So I had to learn that too. But, you know, anytime I talk to a sports psychologist, they said, just be yourself. So my personality was more to go from one side of the ropes to the other and, hey, how you doing? And the more people that came, you know, the more I enjoyed it and could have conversation. So, you know, it's great to see. I so agree with Laura saying, you know, Nelly's having the Caitlin Clark effect. I mean, it's so true. I never watched, you know, I'd watched basketball here and there, but all of a sudden you're like, man, I got to watch this. This is pretty cool. Like, this is impressive. And, you know, listen, if all women could get behind the sports and, you know, support each other, gosh, we would be so much further ahead than we are right now. But, you know, we do appreciate all those guys that have supported us and Bob bringing us to Kentucky. And, you know, knowing once we get there, everybody walks away and says, man, that was the greatest event. These girls are awesome. And it's like, Yeah, well, we're just being us, you know, like we have been given a talent and we've also been given a talent to be a little bit of entertainers as well. So that's what makes it fun for, you know, Laura and I and all the other girls to come and participate in these events because, yeah, they're great. And we get to see our buddies too. You know, we'd go week in week and see everybody for 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time. And now you go 4, 5, 6 months. And luckily if you see a couple, so, you know, it really truly is a family and, it's just fun. It's fun to see everybody.
So next week here near me is the ShopRite, and having personally attended that tournament numerous times, that fan engagement is amazing. That the LPGA players, they literally stand there. Every single person that's seeking an autograph is getting an autograph. We have another event going on up this way as well, which I want to dive over to Andy because he's familiar with the golf course. But before we go there, Andy, effortless power. Clearly, they were also confusing Nelly's golf swing with mine.
Yeah. So you segued perfectly into what I want to really ask and talk about, which was not your swing, by the way. But, you know, I think one of the things that I'm noticing in the women's game, and this happened in the men's game as well, is that the game went from people appreciating rhythm and flow and beauty and golf swings to a different intent. And now you see, it seems like half of the women professionals have kind of approached it with the, I'm going to get as fast as I can get and try and hit it as far as I can hit it. And there's a good chunk of players out there still that are really have that more rhythmic, slow, you know, intent about hitting the ball straight and keeping it in play and not really worrying about how far they hit it. It's just interesting as time goes by and more Nellies and Lexies and some of the other girls that are out there that are pounding it. It must be hard for those other players who've taken the different approach to kind of, you know, stay the course because it just seems like that gap is starting to grow and grow.
Either of you ladies like to comment or just.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, they hit it far. I mean, they were, I mean, my last full year out there was 2015. And, you know, I played with Lexi, I don't know, in 2003. She was 14, I think. It was 2003. And my first, it was a practice round at Kraft. And I mean, she had to have hit it 70 yards by me when she was 14. You know, I mean, it was, I just remember I just talked about this with my husband walking off the tee and I'm talking to her and he's ahead of me and I'm saying, how old are you? And she's saying she's 14 and he looks back at me and I'm like, what? I mean, and that's, you know, I mean, that's 15 years ago almost. Right. So yeah, her distance is incredible. Same with Nelly. I mean, I think there's something to that powerfulness that both of them have in their swing that they can dial it up. It's kind of like Laura Davies, how Laura Davies always was. I think we all would comment about that. I know Michelle, we didn't play as much together, but I know you were one of the bombers too when you were playing.
Come on. Give me a little credit, partner.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you were, and so it is, it does become a little bit of a different game because now, like, one of the reasons I stopped playing full time out there is because I can hit it that far and the courses are setting up for people who hit it that far. So I can imagine the frustration of some of the girls out there who, you know, they don't have 280, 290 in their bag. And it's, you know, obviously we all know it comes in play on carry things. You know, and not so much a normal hole, but a course that's got tons of bunkers and you've got to carry them. And, you know, they definitely have the advantage. And yet it still comes down to who can get it up and down the best.
Right.
You know?
And you know, just if I can add a few things. So when I went on tour, 1988 was my first year. And driver was almost taken out of our hands. on holes because we hit it too far.
Wow.
Now we didn't work out. You know, we weren't allowed in the weight room at 18, and I had just turned 19. And I can remember playing with Laura Davies, and she says, you know what? I'm going to play and I'm going to win this tournament with irons only. And she did. So I think the technology of the clubs, the girls training so much more, has made the courses so much longer. My last year was 2010, and same thing. It was like, okay, they keep moving these courses longer and longer. And what the heck, you know, like you couldn't play anymore. I mean, you could, but it would wear you out, you know, trying to get it up and down all the time. Whereas when I would play and I could take advantage of driver, you know, you have wedges into holes and short irons, or you could reach par fives in two. So I think the game has changed a lot in that aspect, equipment, you know, the way girls are working out now, and, you know, the course, the grass, you know, faster greens, faster fairways. But, you know, that's time, you know, it changes the men's tour as well. But, you know, I certainly can remember many a times that they would even measure some of our holes for driving distance. And a bunch of us couldn't even hit our driver because they would be on a par five that was so tight that you could never get there in two. So you just have to hit like 3 iron off the tee to avoid the water left, the out of bounds right. You couldn't hit it by the water. You know, there was all these kind of different things. So I guess, you know, it's kind of nice to see these girls now stretching it out. But, you know, I don't know. Like, it would have been fun to see that a little bit longer for us and not move tees up 20, 30 yards because girls can't hit it that far. So just a different perspective, different time, different era.
Well, Michelle, we joke about it all the time because Christian, besides lowering our age demographic on here, he doesn't know what Bellotta golf balls are. I don't think he's ever swung a persimmon wood.
Okay.
False. I actually have.
Okay, good.
I have my grandfather's set here in Charlotte. So, all right. He
found it in the corner of the garage.
It's somewhere in the house. My persimmon's wood can go farther than your driver today, Alan.
Oh.
Ooh, that sounds... Ooh, you're fighting work.
No love. No shots love. Fired.
Hey, Christian, you know what this is?
I have no idea. That looks like something that you... No, I have no clue.
It's a cash-in.
It's a cash-in. It's an original. I actually used this in some tournaments when I was about 18 for some reason. I don't know.
That's a good one.
Maybe that would help me make more putts.
A little bleed.
Okay.
That's old school.
Andy, the second part to that was Lancaster Country Club. Laura, did you play in the 2015 Open there?
Yes.
I've heard the golf course is only better. I actually lived in the Hershey area for a number of years, and Lancaster Country Club's an amazing property. Andy, you played it, I believe, when you were a junior up here.
Yeah, when I was a junior, I used to play in a pro-am one-day event every year with my home pro. And it's Lancaster Country Club is just, it's awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed playing it. It's a great golf course.
Playing it to 6,500, to your point about little stretched it out. Only two par fives this week, par 70. So premium off the tee. And
good vanilla milkshakes there.
Good vanilla. Well, I mean, come on, it's Lancaster County.
Maybe some chocolate. We have some chocolate milkshake.
Any thoughts on the Open this year?
Go ahead, Laura.
Thoughts. Well, I can remember some of the holes actually very clearly. There's kind of a shortish par four, dogleg left down the hill, like a pond. And I just wonder if on some of the holes that the girls are going to try and be aggressive with the distance now, because some of the holes allowed you to like free up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I'm going to assume we were playing more 6,300, 6,200. That would be my assumption, because that's what I think I used to always say. No, I would think you're going to get, I mean, Nelly, it should be set up very well for Nelly, because every other course is setting up very well for her. But it's a great town, and I know the girls will have a good time. I know the fans came out big time when we were playing in 2015. I would expect some birdies. I think it's a good course to make some birdies at, even though there's only two par fives. Because like I said, some of the par fours, I just remember having a shorter wedge into. So that was when I was playing. So they're a lot longer than I am. But, you know, with the U.S. Open, you tend to just take a club to get it in the middle of the fairway. So you're avoiding the rough. So we'll see. Should be a good week.
Yeah, I think, you know, weather is always an important factor. Who can have the most patience? I mean, the Opens are the most grueling. Even playing the Senior Open now, you know, we have to walk. To walk 7 days, play practice rounds. It's a lot when, you know, we're not used to it. Those girls obviously are used to it, but you know, it's that little added pressure too that you put on yourself that we try not to think about, but the subconscious kind of comes into effect a little bit and like, oh, yeah, this is a major, instead of saying, oh, this is just another tournament we're going to play in. So I'm sure it's on, you know, most of those girls' minds. Sometimes it's the first time some players have even been there, so it's exciting, you know, playing in a major. I know it certainly was for all of us. And, you know, I this will be my fourth year playing in the Senior Women's Open. And just knowing that we have that, it's like you get geared up for it and, you know, do your best. But, you know, it always comes down to who can make the most putts, who can save some, you know, bad shots and erase some of the mistakes and, you know, just have a little bit of luck on your side too.
Laura, I'll tell you what, dessert's probably melting by now after we ripped you out of the restaurant.
Can I show you, everyone, my family, and then I'll say bye.
Yes.
Here is my crew. Everybody, awesome. Wait. Wow.
Nice.
Nice.
Awesome.
A fun time.
Happy graduation.
Okay. I will pass along the congratulations. Thank you so much, Bob. I can't wait to see you next week. And Michelle, let's go.
See you, partner.
See ya. Bye.
Thanks, Laura.
Yeah.
Now, Michelle, that doesn't excuse you from the hot seat.
I got my boy sitting here with me. You see him?
Yes. Oh,
there you go.
But Ted, say hi.
He's so cute.
Yeah. Today is my anniversary. And
oh, that's right.
Ted's helping me celebrate. My husband's in Washington in meetings. So here we are. Ted and I. Right, Ted? Yep. That's what happens. 14 years, you know.
Congratulations.
Well, to your point about weather, I can attest that I just had two or three massive showers go through here in Pennsylvania. So yeah. Lancaster Country Club got doused before the opening.
Yeah, so softer, you know, I mean, it's going to play longer. You know, weather is always a factor, and how you feel, too. Yeah. You know, living with type 1 diabetes for 41 years now, you know, you got to be healthy. You got to be not only mentally healthy, but physically too. And, you know, you just got to keep the mindset that you're going to hit a bad shot. You might make a bogey, but it's okay. You got to keep hanging in there. And I think that's probably one of the hardest things to do.
I actually, if you're okay, I wanted to touch on that. You've done amazing work with your Diabetes Foundation. And please get the message out if you would like to take a moment to do that. And I think recently you were even named on Governor DeSantis to a sports foundation down there.
Yes, yes. I'm on the Florida Sports Foundation board. But thank you. Listen, when I was diagnosed, you know, all I wanted to do was play golf. And I remember sitting in the hospital like it was yesterday and saying to my mom, what am I going to do? Because my mom's a nurse. She's the one that diagnosed me. And like, if I didn't have golf, I think I would have so many more complications and trouble with my blood sugar. But I was always active. And the most rewarding thing now is getting emails, getting notes, getting calls from parents. I just recently got one from a little girl, Camilla. She's nine, or she just turned nine, and she picked me to be her person that she wanted to be in life. And she's a golfer. She sent me some videos. So I sent her a bunch of, you know, garb with my logo, and you know, she had to make a presentation to school. And, you know, those are the kind of things that you can feel like you've made a difference. And I have the platform of being successful as an LPGA player, and winning tournaments. I mean, golf is really hard. I mean, like Lexi said, it's really hard. But then you put health issues and mental issues and just life in general. I mean, like, credit to everybody that, you know, goes out there and gives it their best every day and turns, you know, something bad into something good. But I have a fund, and we send kids, diabetic, young diabetic kids, type 1 diabetics to camps all throughout the country. So we have been able to raise enough money to send about 200 to 300 kids every year. And they go and they're with other kids that have type 1 diabetes. So they don't feel like they're a standalone, they're by themselves. When I was diagnosed, I didn't know anybody. There was one other person in my class. But other than that, nobody else had diabetes. So unfortunately, more and more kids are getting it, whether it's hereditary or their immune system is being attacked. But there's no cure. There still is no cure. When I was diagnosed at 13, maybe next year, maybe next year, maybe next year, 41 years later, I know they're getting closer, but every day I wake up and I say, please, God, you know, the technology is amazing. I have an insulin pump. I wear a Dexcom. They communicate with each other. So I don't have the extreme highs and lows, but it still does happen because we're human. You know, it's only human nature that you might take a little bit more insulin and you decide you didn't want to eat, you know, six more of those French fries or whatever the carbs that you were going to have that you just decided. And all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, you're like throwing jelly beans in your mouth because you've got that insulin on board. So gosh, if there's any diabetics out there, I'm always here to listen. I'm always here to try to help. Congratulations to every one of you that gets up every morning and, you know, takes diabetes head on. You know, we are controlling diabetes. Diabetes isn't controlling us. And I think if I can leave this life, knowing that I've made a difference in some young diabetics' lives, then, you know, I feel like I've truly accomplished a lot. The wins were amazing, don't get me wrong. And it'd be great. It'd be great to win a U.S. Senior Women's Open, or, you know, hey, let's just start next week, Bob. Let's start or not. We'll just take that. But, you know, and you make a difference. You know, you only get, somebody told me you only get one first impression on people. And, you know, my dad and my parents, they raised me the right way to always take that first step. And, you know, that you might not get an answer from the other side of the person that you're addressing, but, you know, at least you know you've done the right thing. So thanks for letting me share a little bit about that.
Just real quick, then just let the listeners know, where can they find your foundation?
So if you just go on Michelle McGann Fund, FUND.com, okay, or you just Google my name and it'll all pop up. I'm going to turn some lights on here. We are going to
put that up on our social media platforms as well. You mentioned Miss Lexi, and I know Mr. Heidorn to my left has got thoughts on Lexi. So he's been leaning in. I picked up his cues.
Come on, let us have it.
Come on, Andy. I'm gonna save that for my 18th green.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
But I will just say this, that you know, you think she's 29 years old, but sometimes it's hard to remember that she's been doing this since she was 14, right? Or even younger. So it's been a long time for her. An incredible athlete, an incredible ball striker. And yeah, I'll have a little bit more to say on that later.
So, okay, I will defer then. B.E., last week, Bobby eloquently pointed out the fact that the tragedy down in Louisville wasn't the world number one getting incarcerated or a officer hopping on top of a patrol car, but that was a loss of life. Today there was some more news. You were traveling last week, so you weren't able to join us. Your thoughts on the PGA Championship as a PGA member?
You know, it was a great tournament. Valhalla is a fantastic venue, and Andy's all about the venue, but Valhalla stood up to the challenge. So many good storylines. I mean, seeing Justin Rose play well, seeing Shane Lowry post that 62. And we didn't think, at least on our show, we didn't think that the scoring was going to be as outstanding as it was. But kudos to everybody, including Scotty, with what he had to go through and to come out of the gate that morning and birdie the first hole and go on to a fantastic round. I mean, how he can kind of put that aside as he steps into the ropes. And Michelle can speak on this. I think that's one of the things that separates the professionals from all the rest of us, is they can separate the personal things, the things that's going on in their life, the job at hand, the task at hand, which is playing on the golf course. It's not an easy thing to do. As you said before, golf's hard. It's hard enough as it is, but when you have to be able to separate off course and on course in order to make your living, it's tough. And Scotty did a fantastic job with that.
Yeah, I totally, let me tell you, you sleep wrong sometimes. You have a fight with a boyfriend. You have a fight with your parents, you have a, you know, whatever the case might be, it is so hard to let that get out of your head. And I think that, you know, Scotty, that separates him, obviously, from just the average player. You know, there's a lot of amazing players on the PGA Tour, every single one of them, because they all were good enough to get there. But to have him show up after he's been in jail, like, are you kidding me? And birdies the first hole. I mean, I think probably all the emotion, the energy of just going, what just happened, you know, affected. I mean, it had to, you know, was it the next day that he had a few bogeys or something? But I mean, life is hard. And then you get that crazy stuff. Yeah, like truly amazing. But I think as a fan watching too, I love seeing Justin Rose up there. I loved watching Shane Lowry. I mean, all those guys, like everybody was giving it their all. I mean, Bryson.
Yeah.
Like I've never seen that, like, you know, we don't see him play as much anymore, but the emotion, like he was like all heart and soul into that. And I think the game needs that. I mean, the game needs excitement. They need, you know, when Donnie Pepper was out there, man, watch out if she was coming at you, you know, I mean, in a good way. Like we had Helen Alfredson, we had Patty Sheehan, Pat Bradley, like you name it. We had so many different personalities. And I think that if I had to put it in a nutshell, that's what both of them lack. Tiger, nobody cared that he didn't play well. They just wanted to see him because he's Tiger, because he's done so many amazing things. And, you know, listen, if I have my niece, she's 10, she's starting to play. And I told her, listen, we're going to have fun doing this. You're not going to go out here and swing it and just be miserable. Because one time she said, oh, it's so hard, Aunt Chell. I said, listen, do you want to be good? Or do you just want to be average? No, I want to be good. Okay, well then listen, we got to put that behind us and we got to go forward. But teaching these kids now, let's have a little personality out there, you know, distinguish yourself from others. So watch out. There's another McGann coming.
Awesome.
Christian, any thoughts on Scotty's press release? Did you think anything less? I mean, consummate professional, acknowledged, turned the storyline back to the loss of the life. And I'll give you the opportunity. I know you're a huge Bryson fan, so.
Nothing more than a class act from Scotty. I don't think anybody was surprised with his response. I mean, he's matured above his years, obviously. You know, it's very unfortunate what happened. That was a bigger storyline, in my opinion, than obviously him going to jail. Because, I mean, I think everybody kind of knew that some of these charges would have been dropped. But I think at the end of the day, you know, I love what he said. And, you know, going to Bryson, I hated Bryson back in the day.
You're coming around, aren't you, Christian?
He you know, he's got a soft spot in my heart right now. You know, I do think he is definitely, I think he's doing everything he can. He's the only golfer right now in LIV that is actually probably the most favorable golfer, arguably outside of Scotty in the world right now, personally. I mean, I never thought I would say that, but I do think that Bryson is his brand himself as a person. I think he just took it to the next level in a good way, obviously, because, you know, fans on the PGA Tour could boo these guys. You know what I mean? Like, they could not, you know, give a crap if they went to LIV or whatever, but they honestly were rooting for him. And, you know, I said it on the show. I think I truly think that if he went into a playoff with Xander, he would have won. But, you know, even Xander admitted it afterwards. So,
wow. Such a polar shift since not long ago. It's good, Christian. Get that off your chest. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you know,
since last week.
All right, Andy, cue the hot seat.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Michelle, here that we go.
Sit up, take note.
Yeah, these are really easy questions. And
okay.
First thing that pops in your mind. Okay. What is your lowest 18-hole score in your life?
63.
What are your three favorite golf courses that you played?
Oakmont, Seminole, Wilmington, DuPont Country Club. Sorry, I had to think about that. Sorry.
What three courses have you not played that you'd love to play?
Cypress. You know, I don't know. I feel like people make the golf course. I'm going to have to put Augusta in there too. Sorry. I've played Augusta, but it's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I shot one under my first time there.
You just made five four middle-aged and one young man angry.
And jealous. Listen,
I don't want to give any, like, there's so many great golf courses. Yeah. That's a hard question. Sorry.
Okay. Name the three best golfers of all time in no particular order.
Jack, Annika, Tiger.
Awesome. What's the best part of your game, Michelle?
I'd say it's all pretty good right now. It's all coming together. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it'll be on full display next week in Kentucky.
Full display. Yes.
What'd you say, Bobby?
About what?
Oh, I thought I heard somebody say hi. Throwing a little Caddyshack thing out there. Okay, Michelle. So what skill is most important to play good golf? It can be physical. It can be something other.
I would say, can I just one?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. First thing that came to mind was patience.
Yep.
Nice. Very we good. Have not had that one before. That's good.
Yep. Okay. Who is your favorite golfer, past or present?
I'm going to have to go with Lopez.
Okay. Okay.
I hope he's listening.
Quickly describe the best shot you've ever hit. Time, place, and situation.
Solheim Cup, St. Pierre, Wales, 16th hole, par 3, 200 yards, 3 wood, hit it to 5 feet, won the hole, won the match.
Yes.
USA.
Isn't it funny how that question, people's minds go right to it because it's a thing, right? We all have that thing. So what do you cherish most about the game of golf?
I'd say the friendships that I've made throughout the world.
That's if that were a Family Feud question, that would be about 85 points for that one. Okay, finally, how many holes in one do you have in your career?
I think I have 5. Maybe 6. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've had one, but I didn't. My first one was at the PGA. Bob, help me. In Port St. Lucie. The
Wanamaker? Ryder?
Yeah. One of those.
One of those.
Yeah. One of them. And it was with my brother, and it was so great. But I think I was probably 35 or something. I mean, I never had one growing up. And then. You know, I had a few more, and I made one with a 3-iron, which I think is very impressive. I'll just go with that one. I think I have 5 or 6.
Well, thanks for playing our silly game and surviving the Quiet Please hot seat.
All righty. 18th green. Who am I going to go with? Oh, got to be Christian. Final thoughts.
So my final thoughts, first off, Michelle, thank you for coming on. You're welcome anytime. I'd love to obviously talk to you more about just like Nelly and kind of like what she's done for the game, and also kind of talk about Lexi a little bit, because I just find it to be what they're doing so fascinating, especially Nelly. Obviously, she's the most dominant player, in my opinion, by far in the world. And, you know, but I also wanted to touch on and also thank Laura, too, for coming on as well. And I know that if she listens to it, hopefully she will come back on as well. But the last thing I wanted to touch upon was, you know, I want to just send, obviously I don't know him, but I want to send my condolences to the Grayson Murray family, for what happened. You know, whatever you're going through in life, whether it's, you know, mental health or something else going on, like, you're never alone. Open up your, talk to somebody about it. You know, I've been through it myself with some of my friends who have been in a very dark place, and, you know, seeing somebody that you love go through that, you know, words can't describe it. You know, you just have to just, you know, hopefully know deep down that, like, you're never alone. Open up and talk to people, because, you know, it's so important to look out for the ones that you love. So.
Be easy.
Again, thank you, Michelle. It's great having you on, Laura, on. I'm just going to echo Christian's sentiments with Grayson. You know, myself, I've gone through, and I've been very open about it, gone through struggles with anxiety and depression. And it's just another reminder that we just need to be kinder to each other and look out for each other. You know, you don't know what's going on in somebody's world. So just ask them, hey, how you doing? Or just that small thing can be what turns someone's day around. And that's all I've got to say this week.
Andy?
Yeah, so thanks again, Michelle and Laura, for coming on. But don't look, but the Quiet Please podcast is, you know, slowly approaching Annika and Kathy Whitworth and here. We've had some really awesome guests from the LPGA world, and it's really great when you guys come on. So one thing I just wanted to say on the Lexi thing, and, you know, I think Michelle, you said it too, that, you know, golf is hard, right? And I've got kind of a keen eye, unfortunately, for looking at people who tend to have the yips with their chipping and putting. And as good as Michelle has been over the year, I'm sorry, as good as Lexi's been over the years with her ball striking, she's really struggled around the greens and on the greens with the yips. And, you know, at some point in time, that's just going to wear you thin. And I can't help but think that that plays, you know, a significant role in her decision to call it quits here.
Michelle, final thought?
Okay, final thoughts. Well, thanks for having me on, guys. This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Just tragedies, you know. I look at Lexi and I remember just thinking, wow, this girl's got a lot of talent. And she's so young. Lexi's going to be okay. The golf world is certainly going to miss her. You got to put every life in perspective. You know, I was at the top. I was at the bottom. I struggled with, you know, different things as well. Living with diabetes and having crazy blood sugar numbers to no reason and ending up in emergency rooms. When my insulin pump, you know, came out, you're one shot off the lead and, you know, no, you can't do it. And, you know, I think all the things that I've been reading about her and people saying, you know, thank you. Like, I don't think that I've ever seen anybody work as hard as she's worked on her game and her body and getting physically fit. And, but, you know, sometimes your body has another thought for you, you know, mm-hmm. with those yips and with those, you know, you can't control it. And when it gets to that point, I mean, good for her to know that she's got to just step away, take a time out. I mean, there's no saying she might be able to come back in 5 years. She might say, you know what? I want to play again. But it's all about quality of life. And, you know, she seems very happy with her puppy and, you know, moving on and doing something else. And you know what? That's okay. Like, she's, you know, you just reach out and say, hey, listen, I'm here, you know, we can help. So, you know, golf is fun. We got to remind ourselves every time we go out there and hit those really bad shots that, like, what am I doing? That, you know, as my dad would always tell me, somebody's always got it worse than we do. And that is so yeah. For sure. Hug the ones you love and, you know, pick the phone up and just reach out. So thank you guys so much. Bob, can't wait to see you. We got lots of good golf to watch this weekend and
best of luck as well.
Let me know when you need another, you know, Florida girl on there.
For sure. Bobby?
With Ted.
Bobby, and then we've got to have Ted on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've got a multi-pronged thing here and I might go back to Michelle for a final closing comment, but next week, Michelle, Laura, and 26 of their legends of the LPGA with us at the Woodford Club. They're really honored, privileged. It's a really a celebration of women's golf is what we're trying to create here in Kentucky and shine a light on that. So can't wait to see you. Pam says hi. We're all excited. And, you know, just a quick nugget of last year, how much Michelle means to people. So there was a young girl that's almost as tall as Michelle. You may know where I'm going with this, Greta. And I got her into the game last summer and she was playing junior league and kind of having some fun, but there's something about Michelle and something about the way she connects with kids and something about especially girls. And now Greta couldn't wait to come back for golf this year, loving the game, talking about you, can't wait to see you again. It was all about Michelle was just walking with me, walking and talking. You didn't do anything like, you know, jumping over a building. You gave this young girl time and just walked and talked, and now she's just mesmerized by you, loving the game. So cannot thank you. Just one more shining example of what you do to people.
Thank you. Can't wait to see her. All my other little friends too, right? What's my little girl? The little nugget.
Oh, Tegan.
Tegan.
Tegan. He'll be there. Yep, you got Tegan as a fan too. They all are.
Yeah.
And I will close it out by saying an honor. Anytime that you can have a multi-time LPGA champion, whether yourself as well as Laura, represented our country. Yourself one time, I think Laura was on 3 or 4 times on the Solheim Cup. I just want to talk about that next time, actually, just that experience. But thank you so much for spending some time with us. As Christian said, you're welcome back anytime. And I touched on it last week with the ladies and Stanford closing it out once again. What a juggernaut they have out there. Before I literally hit record, I was watching Florida State and Auburn. So the next generation of superstars is right in front of us, and it's going to be great to watch. So stay tuned for that. Until next week, folks, hasta la vista.
Drink more bourbon.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30 plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs. Whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting, be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePew today at 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.